from the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to The Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. And here we are for show 147 with my partner in crime, Mr. Randall Berger. Randy.
I wish, young Willie, I wish I wasn't always a criminal, but partner, I'll take partner, yeah.
Yes.
And yes, it is 147.
My goodness.
We're cranking them out nearly one a week.
My God, we're a machine.
We should become a franchise.
We are. We're franchise outlets
of neurotic
old men sitting there and spouting their opinions.
You mean two mensch on a bench? Are we mensch on a bench?
We are two mensch on a bench. We're two menches on a bench.
We should do a whole show. A whole show of mensch on a bench.
Mensch on a bench. Don't tell me. I'll tell you.
No. I can get my son-in-law will get that for you.
I'm sicker than you are.
That's what you say, but that's not what I believe.
Well, I'll tell you something, man. The mensches on a bench have been viewing the last week of activity in the American election cycle. So we're going to start off with, of course, all you guys know exactly what's happened, and we'd like to start off, of course, with the Republicans, who seem to be imploding all by themselves, Randy.
Exactly. They are totally imploding. Ted Cruz, his balloon was popped.
It was. So before
and
we
he
go
elbowed,
any further,
elbowed his wife, elbowed his wife in the face, trying to get a hug from his dad.
Okay. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is our last episode of Bill and Randy's segment. Here it is.
You are the single biggest liar.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward.
And now it's time for the Bill Show's Battle of the Assholes.
Yes, Randy, it's our last episode of Battle of, those
the assholes. Now it's just battle of the singular asshole.
Yes, it is. It definitely. We've got the theme music going on over us. It's wonderful.
Yeah, Trump with a dump. Yeah, that's what we're talking about now.
Yeah, it's the last time, folks, because as you did note, ladies and gentlemen, it is curtains for our good friend Ted Cruz.
Well, he's not dead. He's not dead. He's just not in the
room. No, he's not.
But they always suspend their campaign. They never actually end it.
Well, they suspend their campaign, Randy, because they still want to make money. Because, they're basically, Sarah Palin never suspended her campaign.
She's still running for vice president.
Yeah, just send her money, really.
Eight years later.
Just send her money. So the whole thing came down for Ted Cruz in Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know. I kind of saw that one coming. Did you see that one coming, Randy?
Look, if the Hoosiers don't want you, you're out of the race.
You're toast. Well, listen,
yeah.
One of the most amusing things that actually happened when Ted Cruz was in Indiana, he was desperately trying to make up some ground with the amazing Trump,
by appointing the witch and wicked the rest,
her pretend vice presidential candidate. Did you see the clip where Carly Fiorina just disappeared and did a comic?
Oh, she fell off the stage. Yeah,
yeah. And somebody said this. Notice who didn't help her get up.
Yeah, neither Ted nor Heidi.
I didn't see Ted or Heidi really giving a damn.
No,
what
it was probably the two daughters that pushed her. They are a couple of bad seeds. They're a couple of bad seeds.
They've been singing. She's been singing to them constantly in the bus. So I think that probably they might have broke.
Even the bus driver wants to throw her off.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, folks, one of the most amusing things that happened in Indiana, I actually got a cut of. Ted Cruz, in his desperation to persuade Trump voters to vote for him, was outside a polling place, and there was a bunch of, and I got to tell you, Randy, this was one of the only times I actually felt sorry for Ted Cruz, because arguing with a Trump supporter is kind of like arguing with your cat.
It's like arguing with a brick. Cats are intelligent. Trump supporters are bricks.
Yeah, it's arguing with pieces of furniture. It's very, very difficult. So I want to play for you. This is the actual cut when outside an event, they saw some Trump supporters across the street.
Yeah.
So he thought he'd roll up his sleeves and do the old Robert Redford and the candidate kind of deal and go and actually try to convince a Trump supporter to vote for him. And what came out of it was, I almost felt sorry for Ted Cruz because.
I think I'll never feel sorry for this the Canadian. Because,
well, have a list. Yeah.
Because he's going to have to go home and answer to his father, who said, "God talked to me and you blew it."
Yeah, well, maybe God was just joking.
Yes, but all nine of the people who ran said God told them to run.
But did it ever occur to you that maybe God has a very good, a very sick sense of humor?
I know God is the God of irony. And
God is the God of irony.
Yeah, and he has a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, God got drunk.
Well,
he shouldn't drunk dial. You know, that's the problem. No. He's drunk dialing. So anyway, here, getting off the point, here is Ted Cruz trying to convince Trump supporters to vote for him in Indiana. Classic, brilliant. Here it is.
And there's a problem. Listen, Donald Trump has accused everyone in this race of being a liar. Donald cannot tell the truth in 1 minute.
You'll find out tomorrow. So, Indiana don't want you.
Well, sir, you are entitled to have your rights, but I'll tell you this. Sir, America is a better country
without you.
Damn.
Oh, some of them got into here. Some of them got into here.
Yeah. Idiot boy is right, actually. Yeah.
This country's better off without you.
But he just sat there just futilely. This track, I just kind of cut it down, actually, because it goes on for about 10 minutes. Oh. And it's the most, you were listening to it, Randy.
It's pretty bad, folks. I was going to shoot myself before the end of it. Bill, I've got something for you might not have read yet.
What?
It was only on there air this morning. The judge hearing the Trump University case has deferred judgment until the end of November.
So now,
this was the case. This was the case that probably would have put Donald Trump under the table.
Yeah.
You know, and everything because it's fraud, total fraud.
Yeah.
He's deferred it until end of November.
Well, it'd be interesting if that judge is a Democratic appointee.
But what would be interesting is if a president-elect.
Yeah.
Is accused of a major crime like fraud.
Yeah.
Whether something has to happen.
Oh, look, Hillary's under investigation by the FBI. And,
Well, supposedly that's all over now.
Well, I'll tell you something. I know I've been very harsh on Hillary during this show. I hope it is. Because it looks like she's going to be the nominee, and if she goes up on some sort of charges before the election, that's terrible. But listen, I just want to get back to the argument with Trump supporters. Indiana don't want you. But the thing was, is watching that was kind of like watching an actor struggle on stage. It was like a very bad impro show.
It was like he was dying.
He died out there, man. It's tough room.
Dying on stage. Like,
now listen, Randy, you actually brought something in because I was going to make a kind of salute to Ted Cruz because we feel like we know.
You know, Indiana's favorite son
yeah.
is named Randy Rainbow.
Yes, he is.
And if you remember the old thing that happened way back with a he rewrote Meredith Willson's Gary, Indiana.
Yes, I do. We played it.
There was a few F-bombs there, which we won't drop.
No.
But in the meantime, he's become our favorite troubadour.
Yes, he is.
He's done a wonderful series, and it's actually quite an ongoing series, where he bids all of the candidates from the Republican Party,
yeah,
farewell.
Okay.
So, and we've got his wonderful, wonderful, I don't know whether it's a bouquet or a brickbat, to send off Ted Cruz.
To poor Lion Ted. Okay, so this is Randy Rainbow. Make sure to check on his site. Randy Rainbow is on YouTube, he is a legend. Ladies and gentlemen,
hilarious.
We give you to the tune of Beauty School Dropout from Greece, GOP Dropout featuring Ted Cruz. Here it is.
But with boundless optimism for the long-term future of our nation, we are suspending our campaign.
You finally met your fate. You lost the Hoosier state. Poor Heidi got an elbow in the head. It must have been frustrating when Boehner called you Satan. Your slogan should have been eliminate Ted. GOP dropout. Looks like you're not the nominee. GOP dropout. You ate your boogers on TV. Well, you fought for all those delegates, but looks like Donald got them. So I guess if Donald Trump's the top, then that makes you the bottom. I always figured. GOP dropout.
GOP dropout.
Maybe I'll miss your double speak.
GOP dropout.
GOP dropout. Your Christian values were on fleek.
Yeah.
But you messed with the New Yorkers, so I guess you're out of luck. As the New Yorkers say, F*** you, you f***ing f***. Go Mets, or whatever.
Ah, gee, Teddy, do you really have to go so soon? I'm just kidding, get the f*** out. I sure am gonna miss the way you used to awkwardly contort your face to make it appear as though you were expressing human emotions. Sure, you lost to an orange reality TV star with virtually no qualifications and Hitler-like tendencies, but hey, no one can say you didn't try. Like that time you teamed up with John Kasich. The two of you were a regular Hollywood power couple. You know, like Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio in Titanic. Or that time you picked vaginas out of a hat and decided to make Carly Fiorina your vice president. Everyone knows she's just a singer. Anyway, don't be a stranger, okay, Teddy? And hey, if it's any consolation, every time I used the hashtag I'm with her, I was talking about you.
GOP dropout. Us they say in Cuba, adios.
GOP dropout.
GOP dropout.
Even your daughters think you're gross.
La, la, la.
Well, you thought you could be president, but looks like that's a no, bitch. Cause you talk too much and look just like that girl on Maury Povich. Pretty.
Baby, be cautious.
Be cautious. Cause your career is going south. You made me nauseous.
So nauseous.
You know, like when you get diarrhea in your mouth?
Ew.
Now go back to bed. No lying, Ted. It's time for you to fly. I'm gonna tell you what I told Felicia. Bye.
Bye, Ted.
I love that. I love it. I just love it. Ladies and gentlemen, to salute the exit of Ted Cruz and, of course, what's the guy's name? Oh, John Kasich.
He's the governor of Ohio.
Yes, he is. And that's the only state he won. So, ladies and gentlemen, our ceremonial salute. Bring your hands up to your face in saluting form as we hit the button.
Pull the chain. Like
they're gone, Randy. They're gone.
They waste so much water.
They do. They absolutely waste far too much water. Ladies and gentlemen, they have left the building.
Bye, guys.
Now we, and like so often when you go to the bathroom, sometimes you don't flush it.
What, you think he's a floater?
Okay, all right. Sorry, I went there. The comparison is too much for words. Ladies and gentlemen, now we had a last thing. We're talking now about Trump, of course. The Christmas present that no one wanted. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into our thing on the Republican candidate, there was a question on notice last week. You actually commented about the number of guys that were nominated by the party who had never held elected office.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with Donald Trump. People are scratching their heads saying, "Hang on a minute, this guy's never actually been elected to anything." So I promised that I would go and find out. Now there has been a president who has never been elected as president or vice president, and that was Gerald Ford.
That's true.
He was appointed to succeed. Was he Speaker of the House at the time?
No, he was Speaker of the House, and he was a long-serving Michigan Republican.
He came in. Yeah, and because Spiro Agnew was a crook and Richard Nixon was a crook, they had to bring in a new vice president, which they did, and then he became president.
He was never actually elected to his congressional district, so he did.
Yeah, but he never was elected as a president. Now, there were five U.S. presidents who had not been elected officials prior to becoming elected
and
as president.
And who are they, Randy?
Okay, Zachary Taylor. Okay, Zachary Taylor was a major general and a commander in the Mexican-American War, and he was a president in the late 1840s, early 1850s.
Yeah, know him well. Yeah. Zachary Taylor.
He was just before Willard Fillmore. Don't you
Another
know your
president's
Another
one of the great
Billy?
Presidents, Willard Fillmore.
Willard Fillmore opened Japan to the West. Number two, Ulysses S. Grant. A two-term president, and of course, Wild Wild West was all about them. William Howard Taft. Now, Taft had been Secretary of War under Teddy Roosevelt, Solicitor General, and Governor General of the Territory of the Philippines, but he'd never actually
been
elected.
I understand, Randy, that he was Chris Christie's grandfather, or great-great-grandfather.
Well, I think he at least handed down his clothes.
Definitely handed down the recipe book.
Next, we have the great man who gave the name to the Hoovervilles,
Herbert Hoover,
who brought... the Secretary of Commerce, who brought about Black Tuesday and the Great Depression.
Thank you, Herbert Hoover. So we're in safe hands, is what you're trying to say.
We were, and the last Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces of World War II, and the first Supreme Commander of NATO, Dwight David Eisenhower.
Who is rolling in his grave, Randall.
I think he was the last great Republican. Yeah. I don't like to count Nixon. Nixon was a crook.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of the last great Republicans. Dwight David Eisenhower, he was actually courted by both in 1952. He was courted by both the Republicans and the Democrats to be their presidential candidate. But the Democrats decided to go with Adlai Stevenson. And he lost twice.
The thing is about Nixon, that I will say something about Nixon, and only in this day and age can you say something favorable about Richard Nixon.
Are you not going to?
Nixon wasn't, he was a depressive and kind of psychotic, but he wasn't an idiot. And of course, with Trump, we have an idiot. I want to segue into that.
He was a potty mouth.
Yes,
he was a potty mouth.
Nixon was a potty mouth, and you know he's certainly not welcome on this show anymore. That's it.
No, one of his great quotes was, "I had to see Deep Throat three times before I could get it down pat."
Thank you very much, Randy. I always appreciate your input. That's really bad. Okay. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to talk to a little bit because Der Spiegel, which really is a the German German publication came out with the with a picture of Ted of Donald Trump on their cover with the masthead, the most dangerous man in the world. And one of the people interviewed for the Der Spiegel article was a guy named Michael D'Antonio, who had been cooperating with Trump to talk about his favorite subject, of course, Trump, in a biography. And he started writing the biography, and it didn't end up, you know, he wasn't writing what Donald wanted, so they parted company. But there was a discussion, and this is how it went in Der Spiegel. He talks about Michael D'Antonio is sitting at an Applebee's fast food restaurant on Long Island speaking quietly. He's a cheerful, thoughtful man with a white beard and polar opposite of Trump. D'Antonio has delved a lot deeper than most into Donald Trump's world, and this is what he observed. What I noticed immediately in my first visit was that there was no books. No books, says D'Antonio. A huge palace and not a single book. He asked Trump whether there was a book that had influenced him, and he said, "I would love to read," Trump replied. "I've had many bestsellers, as you know, and The Art of the Deal was one of the biggest selling books of all time." So he was unable to come up with a book that he had read that he hadn't actually written himself. That's true. D'Antonio's.
But what about Ivana's claim that he slept for years with the collected speeches of Adolf Hitler his bedstead? Was he just absorbing that by osmosis?
Well, it's wonderful that Donald Trump, when he finally decides to read Hitler. You know, so you got to think that maybe if he decided to read Dr. Seuss, we would all be much better off. But D'Antonio goes on. He says, "What I noticed immediately in my first visit was that there were no books." I said that. Trump doesn't read. He hasn't absorbed anything serious and profound about American society since his college days. And to be honest, I don't even think he read in college. When Trump was asked who his foreign policy advisors would be, he said, "Well, I watch the shows." He, of course, was referring to the political talk shows on TV. But what worried D'Antonio the most is Trump's belief that he is genetically superior.
What? You mean that orange hue is the result of genetics?
So in...
What did his mother screw?
Yeah, that's right. But he's saying that basically, if you were to compare him to a science fiction film, it would be the Star Trek film with Khan in it. Said, you know,
Khan!
So basically, what worried him most is says that D'Antonio's is Trump's belief that he is genetically superior to most people in the world. In all of their conversations, he notes, Trump kept returning to the notion that by virtue of birth, he is simply better than other people in many areas, from playing golf to being a businessman. I'm a big believer in natural ability.
Natural selection. So we're gonna have Trump. We're gonna have Trump eugenics.
Yeah, well, it's rather odd that he's reading Hitler in bed and talking about eugenics. But don't worry, America, it's fine.
Okay, let me finish.
His son, okay. Donald Trump Jr., shares.
Oh, the safari kid.
The kid that, you know, spends his spare time going to Africa and blowing the heads off of animals.
And killing.
His son, Donald Trump Jr., shares his father's conviction. He said he was a firm believer in the concept of breeding, and he called it racehorse theory. Then he pointed at the ceiling with his finger in the direction of his father's office and said, "He's an incredibly accomplished guy. My mother's incredibly accomplished." I don't get that, what he's talking about.
Who, Ivana?
His mother, I guess, is incredibly accomplished. I don't know. She's an Olympian, so I'd like to believe genetically I'm predisposed to be better than the average.
Nobody talks about their children like
That's amazing, isn't it? There is a ladies and gentlemen, there is a master race, and they all have orange hair.
Yeah, and orange face and orange skin. Now there was a picture of him eating his taco bowl. His taco bowl, and I love Hispanics, he says.
Hang on.
If you look at the desk, and somebody else, I think it was Samantha Bee, saw this. Underneath the taco bowl, he's reading like Who magazine or one of those checkout magazines.
Women's Weekly.
And the article is about his second wife, Marla Maples, who was incredibly attractive. She was a Broadway star. She was with David Carradine in David Carradine in the Will Rogers story. So she's an accomplished Broadway singer and dancer. But anyway, there's this magazine on his desk with this her bikini shoot of Marla Maples, and somebody says as soon as Melania or whatever it is sees that, she's going to blow her top.
So are you telling me that while eating a taco, he was perving on his ex-wife?
Yeah, while eating a taco bowl, he was perving on somebody else's taco.
Okay, well, all right. Listen, now, I'll just go through this. Donald Trump, who was previously called Mexican migrants rapists and threatened to deport millions of migrants from the U.S., has posted a photo of himself tucking into a taco bowl. I got to tell you, man, this killed me. It's saying, "I love Hispanics, Donald." Donald, let me tell you something, man. If you are a genetically superior politician and that's what you got.
I love Hispanics. But in actual fact, Mexicans don't consider themselves Hispanics. Hispanics are also Spanish and Latin Americans. Consider themselves Mexicans.
Well, I like the thought. And I like the thought of Donald Trump sitting there going, "What do they eat? Yeah, show me eating that."
Yeah, and taco bowls are not.
They are not tacos.
Mexican food.
No self-respecting Spanish person or Mexican person would eat that crap.
They don't eat crispy. They don't eat crispy tacos or taco balls.
Now, Donald also had another thing. when Cruz decided that he was going to get out of the race. Everything got nice. It was no longer not Lion Ted. His acceptance of Cruz's resignation was actually...
I think it was more acquiescence,
and he didn't call him Lion Ted anymore. Yeah. He went on an interview later on, and he said, "Well, there's no more Lion Ted." Then this came up, and this is from the Post. He said, "Donald Trump has had a response when asked if he would consider GOP presidential rival Ted Cruz for the Supreme Court." And this is his answer after going on for 2 months about this guy being everything from a philanderer to a habitual liar. "I don't know. I'd have to think about it."
here's what I believe, William, here's what I believe is going to happen. Come the election, if... the sky doesn't fall and Donald Trump is elected, he's not going to have one of those things where for the next 2.5 months they look around for people to fill the offices, and they, "My secretary of this, my secretary of that." He's going to have a reality show called Pick My Cabinet. And he's going to have all these people come on there, and, it'll be a shitstorm to find people... Yes. To fill his
pick his
offices.
Cabinet, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he's gonna watch all episodes of West Wing.
No, he won't.
And he's gonna do everything that they do.
Well, that's good.
Because He's got television.
He
in
does.
His
he
blood.
Has television in his blood. Going on, we want to talk a little bit now about the Democrats, and ladies and gentlemen. There are Democrats still involved in this. And, of course, this happened with, first of all, we got to take a look at the polls. Now, there are current polls right now that I want to draw your attention to. Because, as you know, this is much a Bernie broadcast. So, you know, but
We favor Bernie, but we realize that Mr. Sanders.
The truth is coming. You know, there may be a thing that we will have to go and support somebody else, and I'll try to get that name out of my mouth soon enough. Don't worry, I'm working on it. But here it is: the current polls putting Clinton against Trump. Now, this is from Real Clear Politics. And just on the 28th of April, Rasmussen reports showed Trump winning by 2 points. Trump beating battleground
by
poll
2 points,
that is from the April 20th show Clinton edging him out by only three. The average poll result of a Clinton versus Trump ticket now is only 6.5%. I went to check on those polls in relation to Bernie Sanders, and this is as much as like from the 28th of April. Bernie Sanders beats Trump by 16 in the CNN poll, 12 in the IBD poll, 15 in the USA Today poll, 10 in GW, and 14 in the Fox News poll. His average margin beating Trump is 13.4%. There's also a very good reason why we want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee, even though that probably won't happen, is because he's a better candidate.
Yeah, but also he will beat Donald Trump. Now, you've got to be honest, Bill. If somebody came up to you and said, would you prefer Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, that's just about the same as coming up and saying, would you prefer Bernie Sanders and a pile of steaming
That's the problem with Hillary too, is that whatever you say about Hillary,
she doesn't steam.
No. Getting out of that, Hillary knows that Trump is a no-go for almost every sane person in America, and there are still a lot more sane people. So this goes into straight into what I wanted to talk about very briefly before we go to our break. I have told you, and I think we've both told all of our people out there who listen to this broadcast, that as soon as possible, Hillary was going to go to the right. Okay, she was going to swing to the right as soon as possible after she got rid of all that progressive stuff she talked about when she was with Sanders. Was going to be a memory, okay? Two articles this week have convinced me that that's starting now. The first one is when Clinton went into West Virginia, a very big coal country, and one of the great things about Hillary has always been she's been very, very strong on climate change.
Yeah.
There are good things about the Hillary Clinton campaign. Her strong views on climate change have always been something of a hope for me. She did that in two. First of all, this is Hillary earlier in the campaign where she made her she stated about being a progressive that likes to get things done. I want you to listen to that comment. Here it is, Randall.
I'm a progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done. And I know how to find common ground, and I know how to stand my ground, and I have proved that in every position that I've had.
So let me clean the bullshit off.
Yeah,
it all just came right out of the speaker.
Okay, well, listen, I'll tell you something. She said she can stand her ground, and she's a progressive that likes to get things done. Okay, now one of the things that I've always, as I said before, liked about her was her climate change policy. This is what she said about coal-fired power plants. Recently, And she copped a lot of flack for this, but I thought this took guts. Here it is.
Example, I'm the only candidate which has a policy about how to bring economic opportunity using clean, renewable energy as the key into coal country. Because we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Yeah, that, Randy, that took a lot of guts. And when I heard her say that on the campaign trail, yeah. I actually was quite, for the yeah. first time, I was really impressed. Because.
But she's not going to, that's why she's going to lose West Virginia.
Well, if she does lose, you see, the thing that really is needed at this point, first of all, climate change is the issue of our time. We're talking about planetary survival. And
yeah, but 90% of people don't believe that.
Well, if anyone comes up to coal miners and sits there and says, yes, don't worry, or, you know, you have to tell them the truth. And the truth is that we're not going to be burning coal. We can't do it. Now, it takes political courage to say that. And I thought, mm-hmm. wow, that's political courage, Hillary. You get a point with me. Until she copped a little flack over the media, and then she went into West Virginia, and then on MSNBC, listen to this, literally 2 days after she said something that required real political courage, here's what she said.
We've got to do a lot more on carbon capture and sequestration, try to see how we can get coal to be a fuel that can be continued to be sold and continue to be mined.
Yeah, that's profiles in courage, Randy.
Makes my head spin.
Oh, how can somebody have so much courage? Jesus Christ.
Vote for me. I'll do anything you want. Yeah.
Who are you? What should I say? First of all, carbon capture. I'm not sure if you understand carbon capture, but if you don't understand carbon capture, I kind of got to depend on it. It's where you store all the carbon underground. This is what Greenpeace says about carbon capture. For carbon capture to deliver, the CO2 is captured and buried and would need to stay buried underground permanently. That's quite a gamble, as the CO2 has a habit of leaking into the atmosphere, and that would only exacerbate climate change. Projects aimed at demonstrating the feasibility of permanently storing carbon dioxide underground have been a disaster. Yes. The Asala project in Algeria, one of the few large-scale carbon capture projects, shut down indefinitely in 2011 because the CO2 injection itself caused earthquakes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one
yeah, let me get through this here. Developments in this Sleipner subseabed storage project in the Norwegian North Sea raised concerns that it was actually leaking CO2 into the underground waters. Mm-hmm. So the costs needed to develop and demonstrate this technology are huge, rather than solar that's just there. And the liabilities around stored CO2, who pays to mitigate leaks and who is responsible for storage sites forever, makes carbon capture probably one of the worst things that you can do. Now, right. This is what Hillary backed away from, and as soon as she got to West Virginia, this is what she did. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Randy.
What I was going to say is there are a lot of ways to capture and reuse carbon.
Yeah,
plants that eat it and become carbon neutral, and then you use them for something else.
Yeah,
and I think that is the direction that we need to go in. Carbon exists. Some things we have to do use carbon.
Yeah.
So why don't we do things which capture it?
That would seem to be a logical thing to do.
But you can bubble the gas from a power plant through algae and then turn algae into ethanol or biodiesel.
Absolutely. There are a million opportunities and options that you can do.
You can run your cars on pollution.
Randy, you weren't talking to a coal miner in West Virginia.
Exactly. Yes. No, and, I realize that.
Now, if I basically had to say that maybe she's going to the right, this article appeared, ladies and gentlemen, in the New York, in UPI. This is the United Press International, New York, May 6th. Top fundraisers for Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton have begun targeting, wait for it, one-time donors to presidential candidate Jeb Bush.
I saw that. I saw that this morning. Yeah, you so, want a Jeb, an oil man. Well, yeah, I'm the next best thing.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the list of fantastic donors this real progressive is choosing from to contribute more corporate money to her campaign. Okay, these are some of them. These are the top 10 Bush donors. MBF Healthcare Partners. Yes, Big Pharma. Yeah. Hunt Oil, good.
Yeah.
Chief Oil and Gas, good.
Yeah.
Franklin Resources, Fossil Fuel Company, Charles Schwab, Wall Street, American Pacific International Capital, Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
It goes on and on and on. And it's typed up for the New York Times releasing this article just recently. The contributions that helped Clinton reach a fundraising milestone by the end of 2015. She had brought in more money from the financial sector during her four federal campaigns than her husband did in his quarter-century career.
Well,
in all, donors from Wall Street and other financial services firms have given $44.1 million to support Hillary Clinton's campaign, with $39.7 million for Bill Clinton. Do me a favor. Don't ever call her a progressive in my face again.
Yeah, here's that list I promised you. No real progressive is pro-GMO, genetic modification of organisms. No progressive is pro-fracking. No progressive is pro-death penalty. No progressive is pro-war. No progressive is pro-big oil. No progressive is pro-Wall Street. And no real progressive is pro-Big Pharma. Now, this 7 points was put up on a meme, which I've put onto our Bill. And it's also on your it's also in your folder if you just want to have a look at it now.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
And finally, new rules since 80 countries in the world have elected a woman leader, but not the United States of us yet. We must admit that when it comes to being progressive, we are often late to the party. And if you need further proof, this Sunday, which is Mother's Day, think about the fact that when my mother was born, women in America could not vote. My mother. Not some far distant relative I discovered on Ancestry.com. My mother, who was born in 1919, the year before women got the vote. Of course, by the time she had me in 1956, things for women had really changed. How much? I'll leave that to Rex Harrison to explain. He played Professor Henry Higgins when My Fair Lady opened on Broadway in 1956. Hit it, Rex.
But women are irrational. That's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay, and rags. They're nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating, agitating, maddening, and infuriating hags.
Yeah. And he's the hero. But that was how women were viewed in the 1950s. Irrational, pouty, vain, thin-skinned, hysterical, and just not that bright. Does that sound like anyone we know today? Who? Oh, yeah. Yes, Donald Trump, who says that if Hillary Clinton was a man, she wouldn't get 5% of the vote. And if Trump was a man, he'd stop whining like a little bitch. This is a guy who actually brags about his prowess at whining.
I am a whiner, and I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win.
Yes, it's the I Love Lucy school of diplomacy. Hey! Does anyone fit the stereotypical 50s description of a woman better than Donald Trump? Any cringe-inducing line they ever said about a secretary on Mad Men is true about Trump. And yet, he's the one with the penis. And we know that because if you make fun of it, he'll be up all night tweeting about how great it is. He accuses Megyn Kelly of being menstrual, but for him, that time of the month is always. Has there anyone ever been anyone more thin-skinned? I made a joke about his father being an orangutan once, and he marched into court with his birth certificate and sued me because he's a whiny little bitch, and if he's not suing you... he's threatening to sue you or demanding an apology or threatening to spill the beans. He did that a few months ago when he was still battling Ted Cruz, and someone posted a picture of his wife he didn't like, so he tweeted he'd spill the beans about Ted's wife, and then literally told the press he started it. Just like Teddy Roosevelt would do. Yes, a billionaire and a United States senator in the girls' shower throwing tampons at Carrie. I sure hope this man gets elected so the world respects us again. And I mean this in no way to disparage vaginas, but what a pussy. I mean, who gets more hysterical than Lady Donald Trump seeing Mexican rapists everywhere? Oh, my salts, we must build a wall, a giant wall, and ban all the Muslims. It makes Lindsey Graham look like Vin Diesel. This isn't presidential, it's Glenn Close boiling the rabbit. And like the daffy, typical housewife of the 50s, Lady Trump is the one who can't balance a checkbook. Trump Airlines, Trump Casinos, Trump University, Trump Steaks. He's got the Midas touch. If every time Midas touched something, it exploded. I could go on, but instead, I'd like to turn it back over to Rex Harrison to sum it all up.
Why is thinking something women never do? And why is logic never even tried? Straightening up their hair is all they ever do. Why don't they straighten up the mess that's inside?
So never forget, Lady Trump, that Hillary Clinton was born a woman, but you chose to live your life as a, say it with me, won't you, whiny little bitch.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time again. How you going, Randy?
I'm fine. I'm ranting.
Yeah, oh, good.
I'm an absolute lunatic.
That's what people tune in for. Okay, what do you got for us today, Randy?
No, it's not what we tune in for.
This is what I tune in for. What do you got?
Okay, what have I got for you today, Bill? Today we're talking about Toiletgeddon.
Toiletgeddon.
Toiletgeddon. Do you
so
know what I mean?
You're lifting up the program too. It's usual heights.
And lifting up the lid on Toiletgeddon. Lifting up the lid.
Lifting up the lid of Toiletgeddon. Okay,
conservatives in America.
Yeah.
The Ted Cruz's, the Million Moms, all those people.
Yeah.
Have gone absolutely batshit crazy.
Yes.
About the thought of transsexuals or transvestites. Or Transformers, or whatever.
Transformers.
Yeah.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Hey, Bill, boy, you know their motto, more than meets the eye.
Yes.
Okay. So they've gone absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
over the thought
yeah.
of people going into the toilet
yeah.
who might have had their equipment
changed.
Adjusted.
Adjusted, yes. Yeah.
It may still be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, everybody's come out and taken a position on this. Sorry. Like Trump came out and said, I'm against it, but Caitlyn Jenner, I like her, him.
Yeah, yeah.
He can come and use the toilets in Trump Tower anyway. Right. I mean, people have got to pee.
Yeah.
And in Europe and in Asia, most restrooms are unisex. Mm-hmm. People don't care.
Yeah, people
it's
don't
a place
care.
Where you go and do your bit.
Well, quite so, frankly, you know why I never really paid any attention? First of all, it's a phony issue meant to get conservatives and us liberals really upset. But it's also the fact that, you know, if you grew up in a house with a few kids in it and not all of them were men, or boys and girls, you have already had a unisex toilet. So, I mean, it's really, trust me.
Of course.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
calm down.
So what's happened is people are taking sides.
Yeah.
And the Christian groups who are anti anything that's not Christian,
yeah.
have come out and said they don't think transgender people or anybody that identifies as anything other than, well, Christian for that matter,
Christ.
Than the sex they were born with, do not have the right to use public restrooms.
Let me just say one thing. They are aware that the world is coming to an end due to global warming. They are yeah. aware that there are bigger issues in the world.
No, they don't. So
other
anyway,
than your
the
duty parts.
Yeah, the American Family Association.
Oh, that
which
great.
Is a dedicated hate group.
Yeah,
I can say that have yeah. come out.
So
and
they're
said,
achievers. Yeah,
we are targeting.
Yep.
People who allow transgenders to use their restrooms. Now, Target, the retailer,
okay.
has
well,
for a long time said, yeah. we have no qualms with any of our people using the restroom that they identify with.
Absolutely. Well, you know.
So if you're dressed
a
as a woman
yeah.
or you've had your equipment changed to
yes.
female
yeah.
or you believe you identify as a woman, you can use the female toilet. If
yeah.
you're a man
yeah.
and dressed like a man and want to go and use the toilet, you can. Now, these people, these idiots,
yes,
these million moms, have
yes.
started sending men and women into the toilets and forcing people out of the toilet if they don't think they're legit. And, you know, a lot of women...
Are you... Wait a minute. Back up. You're telling me that there is an evangelical toilet police?
Worse. They don't even have to be evangelicals. They just riled people up enough to go in there and force them out.
Do you have
now,
a clip?
Oh, I have a couple of clips. But okay. What I was going to say is, I don't think it's anybody's fucking business.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever been assaulted by somebody going in to pee because they're desperate to pee.
That's not, that, yeah, you're
or,
right.
Or to pinch one
you're
off.
Right.
They don't have to go in
no,
and say,
that's
let me
right.
let me see your equipment. Let me see your equipment. That is just wrong.
It is wrong.
Okay. Now, I've got this, the lady, the head of
the
this
anti,
group.
Anti-LGBT the, police.
The designated
in the
hate. Her name is Sandra Rios.
Of course it is.
And she's come out to say this. They're targeting, this is funny, they're targeting people in Target
okay.
by sending men into the women's restrooms to make sure only women go in there. Because I think guys,
doesn't that just defeat the purpose of putting alternative genders together in restaurants by sending alternative
well,
genders.
Well, yes, because
to check
they're going to feel
alternative genders are in the restaurant.
Bill, they're going to feel, you know, like this is okay.
But it's not logical.
You're looking after
coming into your bathroom, so you send men into your bathroom. That's not logical.
Target's actually lying. They're not an inclusive company at all, are they? They're trying to exclude people, are they not? And they're trying to exclude people that are decent, hardworking people that don't want their 4-year-old daughter to have to go into a bathroom with a guy in a beard in a dress. Is that not correct?
Well, it's absolutely. This is going to be the net effect. You know, I think there is no question that when you say there are no barriers in the bathroom, and that if men or women feel like they are men or women, the opposite of what, however they are equipped, and you have no restrictions, the net effect will be people will not be stopped. We've already had people testing this, going into Targets and men trying to go into bathrooms. There is absolutely no barrier. And so the chief concern, even more than just, I think, the trauma for certainly little girls of having men dressed like women coming in their bathrooms, the chief concern of the American Family Association is the predators who will take advantage.
You know something, Randy? You know what the problem is? I don't care. You know, this is an issue that I just don't care about. You know, you have a situation where a fascist may be the next president of the United States. You have a situation where literally global warming is going to kill us in 10 years unless we do something. And these beanheads are running around worried about transsexuals who have, you know, I mean, transsexuals do not have a history. That pedophilia is predominantly heterosexual, and these people are just loony. They're
absolutely
loony.
Absolutely.
They're so dumb. That this would be an incredibly bad issue. First of all, transsexuals, you know, I mean, in the suburbs where they probably are, there aren't that many.
Bill, it's almost universal.
Yeah.
And if somebody takes care of how they look, who cares what the equipment actually is, or whether they sit down to pee or stand up?
The stupidest preoccupation of my time. Ladies, this woman is forming committees and spending her time on this.
Yeah, there are better things to spend your time on than worrying about, like you say, what sort of duty parts you have. To go into the restrooms.
However, you did bring in a clip from our favorite pastor who wasn't in today.
Our receptionist, he's not in. Oh, okay. he does have a life. He's got to go and do other things. Yeah. Here is our friend Pastor James David Manning from the Atla Church in Harlem. Yeah. And he has an opinion on this.
Of course he does.
Let's have a listen.
Pastor Manning,
do you really, really, really think that Jesus would be okay with his mother in the bathroom with a man? I know what the answer is.
Yeah.
No. No. He wouldn't be comfortable with it.
In fact,
if you think he beat the living daylights out of the money changers at the temple, what do you think Jesus would do? I think he'd kill that man standing there in the bathroom, exposing himself to his mother Mary. And if he didn't kill the man standing there, his mother Mary would kill him for not defending her honor by letting a man come in there. Jesus was so holy and the precious, the birth of Jesus, they didn't even let a man get near her. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. I can't understand for the life of me how you people in churches are making excuses, saying this is just another sin. You're going to hell. Yes. You better kiss life goodbye while you can, because you're going to hell.
That's right.
You're going to hell. Fast. There ain't no way Jesus would okay a man standing there at the urinal shaking himself while his mother is washing her hand. It doesn't work. It's absolutely asinine. You are sick. You are demon possessed.
That's right.
You are wretched. You church people. You preachers. You are wretched. You politicians. You are wretched. You are servants of the son of Satan. It's Obama that has rolled. It's the son of Satan that has rolled this evil out to subject the mother of Jesus to a man with a 14-inch shoe, and maybe something else like that too. You're sick. You're sick. You are sick. You are sick. And you're going to hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, the James Brown of crazy. I'm talking about Pastor Manny, ladies and gentlemen.
You're sick. You're sick. You're demon possessed.
Oh, life is still good when I can listen to
that. But, you know, talking about Jesus, Jesus but it's just killing like, somebody. He goes from, killing somebody.
That's it. I mean, absolutely. He's turned basically, which is maybe a framed kind of thing of perversion into a biblical multi-murder, mass murder in a bathroom stall.
She's never even seen a 14-inch thing because the archangel came over her. I mean,
hey, listen,
that's my rant for today. People, stay out of the bathrooms. Stay out of the bathrooms.
Stay out of the bathroom. And if you come to the Bill Show Studios, say to Pastor Manning, thank you for your
insights.
Work
for
entertainment alone. You are absolutely amazing. Listen, we're going to go to a break. We have you brought in a fantastic thing. You brought one in for Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert. Now, while we're talking about imaginary friends talking to us, God actually appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show and talked to him about Donald Trump. So let's have a listen to that.
Okay.
We'll be back in a minute, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to The Late Show and welcome to a whole new world. Because it turns out that hilarious Donald Trump is running for president thing, he meant it. Now, I don't know how many of you have talk shows. Just me. But for me, this is a real mixed blessing. You see, and this is true, when Trump announced he was running back in June, it was a few months before this show started. We were so convinced that it wouldn't last, that we rushed to make a video to put it on the internet so we wouldn't miss a chance to make jokes about him. It turns out we had nothing to worry about except for all the things we have to worry about. Because Donald Trump will be the first major party nominee who hasn't held previous office since General Dwight Eisenhower. Eisenhower faced down Hitler in World War II. Trump faced down Gilbert Gottfried at his Comedy Central roast. And it's fitting that we found out today, May the 4th, when Star Wars fans greet each other by saying, may the 4th be with you. Because a lot of people are waking up this morning saying, what the 4th is happening? 4th. Why you gotta be like that? Last night, Trump gave a victory speech where he promised to bring his country together.
This country, which is very, very divided in so many different ways, is going to become one beautiful, loving country. And we're going to love each other, we're going to cherish each other, we're going to take care of each other.
Yes, we're going to love each other, we're going to cherish each other. Basically, all the things you do when you think the world is going to end. Just love and cherish, precious.
Gotta have love in
your heart. Just gotta love.
Yeah.
No doubt there will be a lot of Trump might be president sex as well. And he didn't just give vague, meaningless promises.
It's over.
My tongue has already left for Canada at this point.
That was nice. I like that.
Last night, he didn't just give us vague, meaningless promises. He gave us specific, meaningless promises.
We're going to work together for many, many years. We're going to make it so good. We're going to be saying Merry Christmas again. We're going to be saying, remember what? We're going to be saying.
Yes, we're going to be saying Merry Christmas again. In fact, I'm going to start saying it right now because I'm not sure we're going to make it to December. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Last night, Trump was very presidential, even offering an early olive branch to his former rival.
Just so you understand, Ted Cruz, I don't know if he likes me or if he doesn't like me.
Oh, I can answer that one. I know this one. A Trump nomination is just, it's hard to process. This feels like a political shift of biblical proportions, like an act of God. But why would a loving God let this happen? Let's find out. God, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Stephen. I'm here, how are you? How's it going? Great looking crowd you got down there. Hello, New York, Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Well pandered, God. Well pandered.
It's what I do. I want people to like me.
Now, God, I have a difficult question for you.
Well, Stephen, when a man loves a woman very much, they exchange a special hug and then...
No. God, not that question.
Oh, good, because it gets pretty icky after that. Not good.
God, why did you let Donald Trump be the Republican nominee?
The what? Shut the front door. No way. Sir Trump, the guy with the weird hair who sold steaks at the Sharper Image?
Yes, haven't you been following the election?
Oh, my God, he's the worst. Look, Stephen, I've been pretty busy to follow the election. I've been dealing with a supernova in another galaxy. I got to decide who wins the NBA Finals. What happened to Jeb? I thought he was a sure thing.
Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people thought that. No, he wasn't. It's going to be Trump.
What is with you people? Come on, I give you a free will and you nominate a guy who looks like a microwave circus peanut? Okay, that's it. That is it. I'm taking away your opposable thumb. Bye-bye, thumbs. Good luck making tools.
Please,
good luck making tools.
Please, no. Don't give up on us yet. Trump may not be president. He still has to beat Hillary or Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders? That guy's older than I am. Oh, you know what? To hell with this. I'm moving to Canada. God out. Merry Christmas.
Wait. Merry Christmas. Well, I'm sure he'll be back.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, it is that time again, as you know, and that's our intro, ladies and gentlemen. It is. And by the way, can I say one thing? God said he's moving to Canada. My wife just came back from Canada, and evidently she said, I have never met more friendly people in my life. That these people are psychotically
friendly. She should get out more. She should get out more.
Well, no, she just sat there and said, I was there for 2 weeks. Everyone says hello. Everyone's smiling. You know, it kind of creeped her out a bit. And like, she lives in Australia.
Yeah, medicinal marijuana has been legal there for a long time.
Oh, that's it. Okay. All right. Well, listen, you have, first of all, your rant had tinnish foil hats in it. In fact, had tin foil hats in it. But you've got one that actually is kind of disturbing, actually.
Well, it is. This one really bothered me, and it did the rounds. It went viral, but I still thought, even though many of our listeners will probably have already heard it, I just still wanted to bring it up because I felt this is what Trump's America is going to be like.
Okay.
Okay. Now, basically, I'll just explain it. A disabled woman broke down on the freeway.
Yeah.
She called, I don't know, AAA or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
And the guy showed up. He just goes to hook up her car, and he sees a Bernie Sanders sticker on the back bumper.
Oh, no.
let him tell the story.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what does a Trump tow truck driver do when he encounters a disabled Bernie voter on the road? Here it is on tinfoil hats.
I have the right to service who I want to.
It happened Monday.
I'm really not interested in doing business with that clientele.
A Greenville woman got into a wreck on I-26 in Asheville, so Ken Shoopy of Shoopy Max Towing showed up.
I walked around behind her car, and that's when I saw it. She had a Feel the Burn sticker. She had the big Bernie Sanders sticker in the back window, which is all good.
He goes around back and comes back forward. And he says, I can't tell you. I say, why? What's wrong with the car? My first instinct is it must be something wrong with the car. And he says, no, you're a Bernie supporter. And I was like, wait, really? And he said, yes, ma'am, and just walks away.
If something came over, I think the Lord came to me, and he just said, get the truck and leave.
He drove back to South Carolina. The 25-year-old was left to wait on the interstate alone. Cassie McWade is disabled. She says the placard was visible on her mirror and that Shoopy was told she had a condition.
Had she been disabled, would I have towed her car? No, ma'am.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Randy. God told him to be an asshole.
Yeah. You know, God's funny that way.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't God. You know, maybe it's just Satan crank calling. You know, it could be.
A pocket dial, yeah.
Satan, yeah, it's God. You know that disabled girl? Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that is.
Well, Bill, this is Trump's America. Seeing more and more tracks and clips and things coming out saying, here's another example of Trump's America. Here's another example of Trump's America. Now, this hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But people are already saying this is what is going to happen.
Well, no, there are surveys, actually, and I believe the National Teachers Federation came out the other day and said bullying in schools is up. And they sat there and said, hey, listen, this is happening right now, and it's literally spiked since the election. And it's happening in high schools, specifically in those high schools in red states. And a lot of the teenagers are picking up a lot of the habits of their adult, parents, which I'm sure this guy is one, who believes that God wants you to ignore disabled people on freeways,
because she has a bumper sticker
and,
on her
car. Kill transsexuals when they come in your bathroom. So it's part of a kinder, gentler America, isn't it?
Oh, of course. We're all going to love each other. We're all going to give each other cuddles.
Yeah, we're going to.
We're
love
all
going to
embrace each other. We're going to be friendlier, a more loving America.
Yeah, Donald, that'll happen. Okay, all right. So listen, mine is actually, ladies and gentlemen, you focus on one guy and you just become amazed by him. Earlier this week, Alex Jones got on his toilet channel and he actually linked the singer Beyonce to the CIA.
Of course. Didn't you know that?
So
oh, Bill,
Beyonce
wake up.
Is part
Bill,
of a CIA plot to cheapen the morals of America. Ladies
CIA
and gentlemen,
plots. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Manning's good friend, Alex Jones, on the sinister and evil tool of the CIA conspiracy. Beyonce. Here he is. Hold on.
You see Beyonce running around saying she hates men, blowing things up, beating up cars, smashing out windows with horrible, ugly looks on her face, teaching young people to be filled with rage. Can we Google Beyonce Super Bowl and just click that image in the images of how hateful she looks? And then the new one, again, she's running around doing all this in the old video, attacking the police. People say, well, what are you for the police? It's the government-funded run TV channels. Viacom, MTV, financing a woman to act like a psychopath who looks like she's on steroids, teaching women this is feminine. So that you run out and burn things and hit people and attack people and get shot. This is cultural death. Oh, here, be drug dealers. Oh, here, talk like this. Here, don't use normal English. Here, be a loser. You know, segregate yourself. Whatever. And it's not just black people. They're targeting everyone with this weaponized evil. She's just one slice. The comedies, the shows, the attack on the families, the attack on the bathrooms, the attack on male and female. And then it's chemically happening to us as well. This is what they want. When you watch sitcoms and dramas, I know our audience knows this, but warn your friends and family. When you watch the brainwashing, it's targeting you. And it's literally CIA. You want to know what the globalists think of you? Take one look at what they're pushing in Hollywood, what they're pushing in pop culture, what they are pushing on young people who they think are young and impressionable and basically helpless. This is the corrupting of the youth. You have this sickening nanny state that says kids can't have dodgeball or can't have tag or can't even run now at most, quote, recesses from first grade right through 12th grade. But we're going to have Beyonce and Kesha and every other one of these pop stars devil worshiping and occult rituals and attacking the police and attacking men and baseball batting and blowing stuff up with a bunch of little girls skipping behind her. That this is the fun. This is what we do. We have power. We have worth. Not write a book. Not nurture your family. Make dinner. Not love your children. Not be a doctor. Be a scientist. Be an aid worker. Not, you know, don't go join the Salvation Army. Don't be a painter. Don't be loving to those around you because charity starts at home. No, be a swollen, spoiled brat woman worth over $100 million funded by the globalists running around looking like she's on steroids. Looks like she's a linebacker beating everything with baseball bats and blowing things up. This is what they're doing to your children. Let me tell you something. My children are, I don't want to say sheltered, but they have friends, nice families. But my oldest daughter, 11 years old, comes home singing Beyonce songs. And it's because they hear them at their friends' houses. They hear them on the radio. They hear them if a nanny or something's driving them or something. I'm like, hey, don't listen to that. It just gets in. It just gets to your kids. And the thing is, it's designed to absolutely ruin their lives on purpose, and it's declassified. This is an illegitimate government that thinks we're through.
Yes, Randy, if you want to know the CIA's plan for the global conspiracy, ask the cast of Friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also the chemtrails. You know about chemtrails, don't you?
Yeah.
Chemtrails are the things that from jets. That's actually putting drugs into us. Those are CIA chemtrails. And fluoride. It's eating into our brains. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
And vaccinations. It's all true, Bill. It's all true. Is.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Really, seriously, every now and then, don't you think we kind of have it coming? You know, well, seriously. Don't you think, like, God's opinion of us is really justified? Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, before we round up our 147.
I want to
say some good news. And I got I got the theme song right here. Ladies and gentlemen, the theme song we've missed so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the theme for The Daily Show. And of course, The Trevor Noah Daily Show isn't bad, but it's not the real deal.
No, it's not.
It's not the good stuff, you know? And I want to play this clip basically on the nickname that that our good friend Jon Stewart gave Donald Trump so many years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
I know someone who could look into it. The birther team back from Hawaii. We're heading to Winnipeg. By the way, did you know Donald Trump's birth name is Face Von Clownstick? Yeah. What's he hiding? Yeah. That's all over Twitter. I hope.
Yes, the person who dubbed Donald Trump Fuckface Von Clownstick.
Oh, we miss you, John.
Well, no, actually, you won't, because this is from The Examiner. Ever since Jon Stewart left his hosting duties on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, the liberal comedian's wit and humor has been absent from the political system. Not long after leaving The Daily Show, it was announced that Stewart had signed a 4-year deal with HBO last November. Stewart's first project includes a creation of short-form digital content that is scheduled to run various times throughout the day on the network's new online streaming service called HBO Now. So basically, what it means is that Jon Stewart is going to be back. He is coming back before the election to bless us with his presence. Because he knew. Yeah, that's right. You knew he couldn't stay away. This is just too much. So expect, if you will, the good voice of Jon Stewart to come back to our airwaves soon.
I can't wait.
God bless
him. You know
what?
I've tried to watch Noah a couple times. It just didn't work. I don't know.
I think Trevor Noah is okay. But he's not as ruthless as Stewart is. I mean, he's just not. But then again, you don't get Jon Stewart's and Colbert's every day.
Bill Maher is just vicious when he can.
And Bill Maher has been doing this gig for 20 years. Before it was real time, it was politically correct. And so, but one of the things about having terrible times that you live through is because political humor gets really good.
Yeah.
And the person who did that for us is Jon Stewart.
Exactly.
Jon Stewart is as close to a national treasure as you're going to find, and he is coming back. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Bill Show Cheer Squad just wants to say this.
Yes! Welcome back, Jon. Can't wait.
Welcome back, Jon. Anything to add before we push off the mortal coil of another show?
I'm fine. That's great. I'm not going to play anymore. We've used up all of our listeners' patience.
That's
true. We haven't tried to clean it up. Haven't dropped the F bomb or the C bomb.
There you go. That's right.
We're pretty good. We're
a kinder, gentler, cleaner show now.
We're going to be. It's going to be a much more beautiful show. We're going to embrace each other. We're going to love
going
each
to
other. We're going to hug each other.
It's going to be fantastic. It'll be great. We'll be winning. This show will be winning. It will be winning so much you'll be sick of winning.
I got words. I got the best words. I got so many words. I got so many words.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he's
going to
make George W. Bush look like Einstein. He really is.
Yes, that's right. Before we go, let me remind you guys that you can all pick up on us. Go to thebillshow.net, thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. If you want to listen to our show, you can also go to Podbean, expatprogressive.podbean.com. We're also available on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show, and Podbay FM, and of course, iTunes. So, and leave a comment. Go to our Facebook page, the Bill Show on XBR Facebook page. And of course, you can look at our, we post a lot of the articles that we talk about on the show on the page. If you want to drop us a line or talk to us, please do. So until next time, guys, Randy, why don't we wave to our friends?
Bye, Val. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Val. See
Love
you later.
You. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.